Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome aboard to another Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini hanging out with you guys as opening day for the Major League Baseball season. Now about a month and a half away. We are into February, February 4th of the time of this episode when it comes out. And the Phillies season starts March 27th. So we're getting there, guys. We are getting there. The baseball offseason has felt like it's dragged on longer this year than it has in years past because the Phillies were eliminated a little bit earlier last year than they had been in 2022 and 2023. So a little bit of an extended offseason. There haven't been the crazy moves from Dave Dombrowski that we had seen the two previous. We didn't get Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos or Trey Turner or guys like that that were able to really bolster the roster and make it to the point where they could get to a World Series and get back to a National League Championship Series. We haven't seen so much of that. We've seen the Max Keplers. We've seen the Jordan Romanos. We've seen the Jesus Luzardos, guys like that, who I've spoken numerous times about how excited I am about Jesus Luzardo. I will probably inevitably dive into that as well during this episode, just because when I'm talking Phillies during the offseason, all I think about is Jesus Luzardo being the number two starter in this rotation, gassing guys up from the left-handed side of the rubber. I can't wait for that. So that's coming at some point. But before we dive into a little bit on the Phillies, I just wanted to mention that yesterday, there was an umpire that was fired from Major League Baseball. Pat Hoberg, if you remember that name, kudos to you. I think it's kind of a niche thing for people to remember who Pat Hoberg is. He was the umpire that was in the World Series for the Phillies and the Astros back in 2022, who infamously called a perfect game. Not literally a perfect game, obviously. There wasn't a perfect game toss, but a perfect umpiring game where he did not miss a ball or a strike call. He was absolutely perfect the entire game. I actually have the umpire scorecard up here. There's an account on Twitter called Umpire Scorecards, who grade umpires based on I guess it's the methodology that they have, but they're pretty reliable, and it's pretty fascinating to look at how they grade umpires after every game. And in game two of the World Series, it was the game that the Phillies lost to Houston 5-2. His overall accuracy was 100%. He called 129 of 129 taken pitches correctly. Again, 100% for him. The average for a normal umpire is 94%. The overall factor, which factors in, you know, if he had certain calls that went towards Houston or certain calls that went towards the Phillies, how much did that tip it in favor of one team? Obviously, because he was perfect, it was a perfect zero. No team benefited more than the other with Pat Hoberg behind the plate. He was perfect. His overall consistency was perfect. His called ball accuracy was 100%. 0 of 89 called balls were true strikes. 0 of 40 called strikes were true balls. So, I mean, a great game from Pat Hoberg that he was known for. And unfortunately, 3 years later, he gets fired from Major League Baseball because, I'll tell you why, he was fired for sharing betting accounts with a friend who bet on baseball. Now, although there was no evidence that Hoberg himself bet on games or manipulated any that he worked on, he was still fired. This is per Jesse Rogers, who works for ESPN. He tweeted this out yesterday. He also said that Hoberg deleted messages central to MLB's investigation into him. So now Hoberg is eligible for reinstatement come 2026. So if he would like to try and get back into Major League Baseball umpiring, he can do that next year, at least try to get back into it. But a pretty crazy thing that transpired there, because when's the last time a baseball umpire was fired? You know, especially for a guy who was sharing a betting account with a friend. Now, again, like I said, he didn't bet on baseball games, and there was an independent person who was looking into this that didn't find any sort of malpractice with Hoberg betting on baseball or fixing any of the games that he worked in. So I'm not sure exactly what he was doing or what he was thinking, whether he was trying to bet on other sports. I don't personally know. I know that the person that he was sharing the account with did bet on baseball. But like I said, there was no nefarious activity with Hoberg potentially fixing games or doing something to tip it in favor of the other. just kind of a crappy situation because he was a good umpire that unfortunately will no longer be in Major League Baseball in 2026. So if you didn't see that news, that was pretty big in the baseball world yesterday. Maybe it feels like we're grasping at straws in the baseball world because there hasn't been a whole lot going on. And not a whole lot of free agency moves. Guys like Pete Alonso are still out there. Alex Bregman is still out there. You know, there are still some guys that have lasted pretty deep into free agency. We're getting close to the point where, you know, spring training's right around the corner. You would like these guys to be signed if they're going to end up joining your team. But that's the news of the world in baseball yesterday. And hopefully no more of that coming out with any other umpires in the future here. So I just wanted to get that out of the way, hit that a little bit before we dive into the Phillies. And what I want to do today, I want to look around the National League East. We maybe could look around the entire National League as a whole. Obviously, we know teams in the National League West are really good. We know the Dodgers are the Dodgers, the World Series champion. They've signed seemingly everybody that's ever walked the face of the earth this offseason. And they're going to be a really good team. The Dodgers are going to win over 100 games, barring any sort of massive injuries to key players, which we hope does not happen. You know, you want to have the best players out there playing. You just want to be able to beat them. But the Dodgers, they're going to win over 100 games. Padres are also really good. You would expect the Padres to be about a 90-win team in that range, kind of like where they were last year. I think they won 89 games last year, if I'm remembering correctly. Arizona also won 89 games last year, but, you know, ended up missing out on the playoffs due to a tiebreaker, so they're going to be good as well. The Giants, you never know what's going to happen. Their roster is not very good, but they always kind of try to go half all in, and we'll see if they're able to make anything work with that roster that they have out there now. The NL Central, I don't know if they're going to be very good. I mean, the Cubs you would think would be better in theory. The Brewers, the defending division champions. You've got Pittsburgh, you've got Cincinnati, teams that are kind of wild cards where I guess they theoretically could make some sort of a run. If you remember, the Pirates started out really good last year and then completely cratered, while Cincinnati started out terrible last year and sort of tried to make a clawback at it, but really weren't able to do it. Cincinnati was very disappointing last year. And then you have the Cardinals, who just got rid of Paul Goldschmidt a couple of months ago. And I don't really have any faith the Cardinals are going to be too much of a threat. So it's really going to be the most interesting division, in my opinion, is going to be the National League East. That's where we're talking about today. Because you've got the Phillies, you've got the Braves, you've got the Mets. There's no denying that, right? You know that those three teams are probably going to be the top three teams in the division. But then you have, and Miami's going to stink too. I mean, Miami always stinks, seemingly, and you never know what the hell is going on with that organization. They had Skip Schumacher taken to the playoffs 2 years ago, and then they fired him at the end of the next season. They started out like 0-9 last year, if you remember. They are a very, very weird organization. Two World Series like the Phillies, but they've never won the division. Just a head scratcher. They fired Joe Girardi back in the early 2000s after he was manager of the year. Like, a lot of weird stuff goes on with the Marlins. They never really seem like they actually want to win, even though they might tell you they want to win. So they'll be at the bottom of the division. I find the Nationals, though, very, very interesting this year, because I thought Washington was going to be able to put it together last season. I thought they were going to be pretty good. They had a really good finish to 2023. They kind of clawed back, got themselves into not a good record, but better from where they were, if you would say, at the midpoint way of the season. They closed very strong. And then last year, they just were not good. I think they might have had a worse record last year than they did the previous year, which shocked me. I thought they were going to be a team that could contend a little bit for maybe a wild card spot, kind of get into a maybe they're good enough to get in, maybe they're not, but, you know, at least give themselves a chance. And since the beginning of the season, they really didn't have one. I mean, they have some good players on that roster. CJ Abrams, who obviously at the end of the season last year, if you remember, was infamously benched for gambling and being out for a really long time before a game. You know, staying up like all throughout the night to gamble, and I don't know exactly what's going on with him, if he's going to be their everyday shortstop when they come back in 2025, or if he's, you know, still going to be in Davey Martinez's doghouse. That remains to be seen. But their roster isn't terrible. They have some decent starting pitchers. They have Mackenzie Gore. They have Trevor Williams, who had a very solid year last year. They have Jake Irvin, who was decent for a large part of the season last year. Ended up falling apart a little bit at the end, but he was pretty decent. They have DJ Hurst, who had a very solid first season, I believe, for the Nationals. A guy that sort of just kind of came out of nowhere and became a good pitcher for them. And then they have some young talent. They have Dylan Cruz, who they drafted, I believe, last year or the year prior, who would not shock me at all if he's in Major League Baseball next year as the center fielder for them. They have Alex Call, who's a pretty solid player for them as well. Stone Garrett, who's had some pretty decent years for them. Kiebert Ruiz is the catcher, who, like, They have some solid players on a very young roster, which I think if you put them and they are able to gel together and kind of play well from the start and not dig themselves a hole at the beginning of the season, which for, you know, we hope that they dig themselves a hole because the Phillies open up in Washington for three straight games. So hopefully the Phillies make them 0-3 right out of the chute. But point being, I think that they can be a solid team that could challenge for a wild card spot this year. You might think I'm crazy, and I might be crazy, but I think that the Nationals will be better than other people think they will be. I think they can contend a little bit this season, and it wouldn't shock me in the least if they finish over 500 and if they are threatening to try and find their way into the playoffs this year. But obviously, the main three teams you've got are the Phillies, you've got the Braves, and you've got the Mets. And if you rank those teams on a list from 1 to 3, it's tough. I mean, I would still put Atlanta at 1. I would put the Phillies at 2. I would put the Mets at 3. The Mets obviously signed Juan Soto. It makes their team significantly better. Juan Soto is going to be a nightmare to have to deal with for the next 15 years. I'm not looking forward to that. I'm sure the Phillies aren't looking forward to that. But that's the bed you made. Now you got to lie in it, right? But that's really all the Mets have done so far in the offseason. They have not brought back Pete Alonso, which I'm still in the camp of it would shock me. If the Mets don't bring him back, I don't see the upside of not doing it. Now, I know that they've been linked Vladdy Guerrero Jr. Sorry about that. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. sort of been linked to them. They might want to trade for him, which in turn, if they traded for him, obviously they would not be bringing back Pete Alonso. Alonso went healthy, and when Alonso is having a good season, I think he's better than Vladdy. I know Vladdy had a very good year last season, but he had a couple of three or four down years in a row. For Toronto, so I would be shocked still if the Mets didn't bring back Alonso. Plus, you don't have to give anything up for Alonso, just got to fork over a little bit of cash, which I think Steve Cohen has proven time and time again. He doesn't care about giving away money. He'll give away as much as he wants if he feels that it's right. So I still think that Alonso will be their first baseman next year. But and then in their pitching rotation, they've still got Sean Manaea. They still have Kodai Senga, who didn't really pitch at all last season until the playoffs. He had one game under his belt before he pitched in the playoffs, and he wasn't great in the playoffs, but Senga 2 years ago was their ace, was a very good pitcher. But outside of Senga and outside of Manaea, they have a lot of question marks in their rotation. Now, they had a lot of question marks last season, too, and they seemingly made it work with guys like Luis Severino, obviously Sean Manaea, who became one of their best pitchers, and a couple of other guys. But right now, it's just Manaea and it's Senga. They've also got David Peterson, who was very good last season. They've got Tyler McGill, and they've also now got Griffin Canning, who they brought over from the Angels, who was not good last season. Canning was 6-13 with a 5.19 ERA. And they brought in Frankie Montas, who last season with Cincinnati and also with Milwaukee, he played for both of them last season. Fine. You know, he's a fine pitcher. He's not great. He doesn't have anything that you should really worry about. He's decent. Frankie Montas is fine. He's not gonna you know, move the needle all that much. But that's their pitching rotation. So the Mets, their pitching rotation is still suspect. I'm surprised that they didn't try and go out and get any sort of starting pitching help outside of Montas and Canning. They didn't go and get some big names. They didn't try and make a run at a guy like Blake Snell, or maybe even toying with the idea of bringing Verlander back or Jesus Lizardo, who was on the table, obviously, that the Phillies got. So what they have in their lineup that's very good in guys like Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor, obviously now Juan Soto, Francisco Alvarez, they still got Jesse Winker, unfortunately, Starling Marte. You know, they've still got some really good guys in that lineup, but I just don't trust their pitching staff. So I put the Phillies ahead of them, and then I still have the Phillies behind Atlanta. And this is where the National League East is going to be interesting, because Atlanta had won it for, what, 7 or 8 straight years until the Phillies finally won it last year. And the Phillies won it because Atlanta crumbled. Let's be honest. Atlanta just completely fell apart, not because they weren't playing well, but they fell apart because of injury. And they didn't have their roster healthy for about 90% of the season. It felt like guys were getting injured at every single possible turn. At one point in time, they were having Ramon Laureano and Whit Merrifield and a couple of other guys, Eli White, you know, playing valuable time for them, and it was like, this is the Atlanta Braves, what the hell's going on? And they still are able to win 89 games and make it to the playoffs. So the Braves still should scare you, or at least still make you hesitant to claim the Phillies as back-to-back division champions. They're going to be much better this year, you would think, right? They're going to be much more healthy, but what I'll say about Atlanta is I think they're somewhere in between what they did 2 years ago versus what they did last season. Now, obviously, last season, I just said they're injured. They don't have a great season. Things go down the toilet very quick. But 2 years ago, they kind of have the exact opposite. Nobody gets injured. They have everybody have a career year, a career season better than they've ever had in any other previous year in the big leagues. And they win over 100 games. They win 101 or 104, whatever Atlanta ended up winning 2 years ago. I don't remember what the exact total was. It didn't matter because in the NLDS, the Phillies were kicking them to the curb and sending them to Cancun. So I think they're somewhere in the middle of that because they're not going to have everybody have the career season again. They're not going to have everybody stay healthy for the entire season again. That's just very, it's just, you can't ask for that. Now, will Ronald Acuna be out for the entire season? No. Will Austin Riley be out for a good chunk of the second half of the season? No. Will Spencer Strider be out for all the season? No. So they're going to be good again. They're not going to win 89 games. If the Braves won 89 games, I'd say it's a colossal failure. But I think they win about 96 to 97, somewhere in that vicinity, maybe 95 like the Phils did last year. They'll be more gettable. I think that the division could still be taken by the Phillies. I would not bet on it. I would not tell you in my heart of hearts that I think they will be the division champions again. I'm just being honest when I say that. I think that they're destined for a wild card team. The Phillies are if they're making the playoffs again in 25. But I think that the Braves could be gettable, and if the Phillies can play them tough when they play each other, the Phillies, again, have not, I don't think they've won the season series against Atlanta since 2021, maybe? It's been a long time since the Phillies have won a season series versus Atlanta. Now, they were kind of the thorn in Atlanta's side for a little bit, too. Now, obviously, the playoffs, they have been. But also in the regular season, you know, Atlanta would smoke everybody that was in the division and then have a little bit of trouble with the Phillies. The Phillies would just kind of keep pestering them, and if the Braves won the season series, it was like 7-6. You know, they weren't winning it by a whole lot. It wasn't like they were just dominating the Phillies every time they played them, but they would still end up winning the season series. So will I bet on the Phillies winning the division? No, but will I also think that it can happen, and would I tell you that if it does, I wouldn't be shocked? Yes, and that kind of sounds like it's a half measure, right? I've got one foot in the pool, the other one out. That's just where I'm at right now. It's really going to be dependent on how the Phillies play, especially offensively. I think this rotation that the Phillies have, as I have mentioned for weeks on end now, and I'm laughing because I just went on my app here to look at the Phillies rotation for this year. My Yahoo Sports app's already got Jesus Luzardo as the Phillies' number one pitcher over Zach Wheeler, which I think is a little premature. I don't know that I would list him as a starting pitcher one. I think Zach Wheeler for sure is still our starting pitcher one. But If their lineup, it's what I think is going to be the most important thing. And I guess that kind of sounds like Captain Obvious here, because of what's happened to them in the playoffs the last two seasons, or three seasons really, where the lineup ends up cratering, and that's the reason why, and that's the reason why they aren't able to make the playoffs. And last season, although the bullpen had a lot of struggles during the end of the year too, the offense was also a major issue. And there were times where they could not hit. There were times where they weren't able to get guys on base. They weren't able to get guys across home plate. They weren't hitting at all. They're having a lot of trouble scoring runs at the end of last season. And that just carried over into the playoffs. Outside of the electric game two, you know, where again, they were getting shut out through six innings. But outside of that game, obviously, we saw that there was negative offense from this team. There was no clutch hitting. There was no situational hitting. There was nobody that could get it done in the big moment when the big moment was called for. It was a struggle to do anything for that offense. And it didn't matter what the pitching did. It didn't matter what Ranger Suarez did in game four, or what Aaron Nola did in game three, or what Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler did in games one and two. That did not matter. Right? When the offense cannot get it going, this team can't get going. You can have the great pitching. It's like going back to the 07 to 11 run. When the offense is good in 07 and 08, and then every year after that, the offense starts downturning a little bit. 09, they were still good, but then 10 and 11, it was much of a struggle. And it doesn't matter what you're doing in the playoffs when you cannot hit the baseball. When Roy Halladay was throwing gems out there for you, but you couldn't score three runs, that doesn't matter, right? And this is similar to what happened back then. They have the pitching. The pitching is great. They don't have the four or five aces, whatever it was from 2011, but they've got the best thing since then. You have Luzardo, you have Wheeler, you have Nola, Ranger, and Suarez. This rotation is dynamite. This rotation can be great. But if you don't have the lineup to complement that, none of this matters. Those guys aren't going to go out there and pitch one-run games every time, or pitch two-run games every time. So you need the offense to step it up. You need Harper to have another type of MVP caliber season to really carry this offense for a while. You need Nick Castellanos to have a very solid season again. And I mentioned this last week. I talked about five Phillies that I thought could directly impact the result of what this team did in 2025. The hitters were Castellanos, Alec Bohm, and Bryson Stott. If those guys have far better years than they did last year, this Phillies team will not have an issue making the playoffs. But those guys need to have those kinds of seasons. Those guys have to be better than they were last season. Bryson Stott especially. You don't know what's going to happen with the leadoff spot. You would think Kyle Schwarber is probably still going to be their guy, but you can't bank on that. You don't know that that's going to happen. Rob Thompson has hinted at the idea of maybe they were going to change things. Now take that with a grain of salt. Rob Thompson has threatened change ever since they lost the World Series. It really hasn't happened. In 23, they had Stott be the leadoff hitter for a little bit of time and then immediately put Schwarber back in there. And yes, they win when Kyle Schwarber is in the leadoff spot. They won 95 games last year, right? So I can't sit here and tell you that you're doing it for a valuable reason other than you're just trying to change things for the sake of trying to change things, right? They win with Schwarber in the leadoff spot. It is what it is. Do I want them to change it? Do I want them to make something different? Yes. I would like them to try and just try something else out. Try Schwarber in a spot in the order where he's now driving in more runs than he is when he's batting leadoff. And see what happens. You don't have to stay with it the entire season, but if it's working, and if Stott's having a productive season, and if Stott likes batting in that leadoff spot, which ironically I think could be a pretty good spot for him. I've ripped on his approach at the plate numerous times, but he's a guy that's going to see pitches. He's not going to jump on the first pitch of the game like Schwarber might. Right? He's going to see 5, 6, 7 pitches in at bat in theory, and you're going to get a look at the pitcher if you're the guys on deck. So maybe that helps them. Maybe that's a benefit for them, and it helps them move forward in this season where you have a different guy in the leadoff spot. But regardless, it remains to be seen. And a guy like Alec Bohm, who, look, we've been talking since 2020 that if Alec Bohm opened up his power, all of a sudden he'd be one of the best third basemen in baseball. But I'm more concerned about the fact that he's got to play with all the nonsense that was going over his head in the offseason. And how's he going to react to that? Alec Bohm has been a mentally weak player for his entire career. You want to get Alec Bohm angry? Get him out. Strike him out. You know, he's not going to be happy. He's going to let it get in his head, and hopefully he doesn't carry it over into the field like he used to. But there's an easy way to get Alec Bohm flustered, and it's that he's not the most mentally tough player out there. That's what worries me about him. He had a solid season last year. I mentioned his stats last week, 280, 15, and 97. But what's he going to be like in between the years? You know, is he going to have is he got a screw loose upstairs all of a sudden now with what happened in the offseason? I sure hope not. I know all of us hope not, but I don't know if we can bank on that. So, look, the Phillies rotation, which could be great, the Phillies bullpen, which was great until it wasn't last season, but for the majority of the season, it was great. You know, that rotation that's so good, it can only do so much, and that's why it was kind of confusing that Dombrowski went out and look, don't get me wrong, I'm very happy with what he brought in Jesus Luzardo and Romano and some other guys that he's brought in the pitching staff, but that wasn't the main issue, right? That wasn't the number one thing that I think a lot of people felt like needed to be fixed going into the offseason. It was the lineup. It was trying to find out how you can get better guys to complement the studs and the stalwarts that you have in this lineup to make this team better when they need to be better, to make this team come through in clutch situations. And none of that was done. You're just running it back with the same offense, except instead of having Austin Hayes, who, by the way, I believe just signed with Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken. So he's gone. Austin Hayes will be one of the worst trade deadline acquisitions you'll ever see. Just flat out horrible. And it's almost borderline hilarious that Dombrowski said that they had wanted him for 2 or 3 years prior and finally got him last season. And he played maybe 15 games for you max, and all of a sudden he's gone. He went to Cincinnati, I believe. But instead of having him out there in left field, now you got Max Kepler, right? And is Max Kepler going to be some sort of great addition? I don't think so. I think he can be fine. I think Max Kepler can be a decent player. But that's not gonna cut it, right? That's not going to be the end-all, be-all that's going to put you over the top to win you a World Series. So they didn't make any of those moves. It's unfortunate. Like I said, I still think that this team is going to be good enough to make the playoffs. It's going to be good enough to challenge Atlanta and the Mets. It's going to be a fun baseball season. I will say that. You're going to have two other teams in your division that are great, that are going to have an opportunity to do some damage in the playoffs again. And you got to be the better of those three. That's what it comes down to. They did it in 22. They did it again in 23. Can they do it in 25 after taking a year off last year? That remains to be seen. But we are getting closer and closer to getting to the major league season. Truck day was yesterday. The Phillies truck's on its way down there to Clearwater right now. We're almost there, baby. We are almost there for baseball. Spring training's coming up. The season is coming up. I'll be back with you guys next week to discuss more. And stay excited. You got the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. You got Phillies baseball on the horizon. Spring weather is hopefully coming soon. It's been nice out the last couple of days. So get excited. We are getting closer and closer to the best time of year. All right. Have a great rest of your week, everybody. Go Eagles this weekend. Go Birds. Got a big, big game. Enjoy watching that. And I'll be back with you guys next week.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.